Hi, this is Chris Evans with a Storage Unpacked podcast at HPE Discover in London. I'm joined by Martin. I've also got Matt Foley.
Hey now.
And Matt Lee.
I can't do a good hey now.
Well, no, none of us can we? We have to leave it to the expert to do that.
And even Mark's hey now was a bit jaded today.
It was a little bit, yeah.
Well, I wasn't prepared.
I think we're all a little bit jaded. But that's another story.
Maybe I don't understand the word jaded.
No?
I don't know. Yeah.
Do you understand the expression tired and emotional?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that jaded?
It's sort of.
No, jaded comes after being tired and emotional.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, I'm there.
Yeah. Excuse me. So, we're here to talk about storage. We're here to talk about HPE's storage platforms. Maybe have a think about where they're at. Are they at a bit of a hiatus? Are they at a turning point? Or are they just steaming ahead? What's your opinion, Mark?
Well, you know, they have a pretty broad assembly of products. And they've been doing the small integral work to tie them together. You know, so 3PAR now integrated with Store Once, with snapshots.
Yeah.
And certainly they've upgraded that 3PAR product line with Flash. They've taken the Store Virtual product. They've packaged that. I think there's a lot of, if you will, solution packaging going on,
right,
at HPE, and that it really does drive up the value of what they're selling because it provides an overall solution that
adds value, I guess.
It adds value. It should reduce administration time through that integration.
Do you think they've reached the end of that line? Do you think they can keep on adding stuff?
Oh, the 3PAR thing?
I mean, just all of those technologies in general, because we always see 3PAR as like the one thing that pushed forward at every presentation here. We tend to see it lead all the discussions about storage, about what's coming up. The other stuff tends not to get as much of a promotion. So do we think they can just keep on innovating with that platform?
You know, it's interesting. At some point, they'll probably have to make another acquisition, right? But, HP in the past certainly showed a lot of patience before doing that. It'll be interesting to see what they really do around, I think, server-based storage. They've got the Store Virtual. At some point, I think they're going to have to look at doing something that is more advanced than what Store Virtual has.
Right.
It's based on the left-hand technology.
Yeah.
And at some point, I think they're going to have to uplift that quite a bit.
So just out of interest, when was that developed?
Oh.
2000s?
Yeah, mid-2000s, yeah. Okay. So, it was developed at the same time that 3PAR was also being developed.
Yeah.
But I think a lot more has happened around server-based storage, especially in the last 4 years.
Right.
Arrays, the big thing in arrays is not that big. It's like everybody's using Flash. So HPE figured out how to use Flash, and everybody is selling, and you guys have talked about this before, everybody's selling Flash-based arrays. HPE is too, with the whole big company behind them. I think they're fine there. But I think their biggest weakness is probably that server-based storage, or right now.
Any thoughts on that, Matt? Do you think that's a buying opportunity for them, for something like Simplicity?
Well, of course, Simplicity fits into a slightly different packaging.
Yeah.
I actually like what they've been doing with Store Virtual. I think they've made some maybe not quite as drastic a set of improvements to Store Virtual as they have to 3PAR. But I do believe that actually, from my perspective, where they've gone with Store Virtual, or left hand if you want to call it that, is steps even beyond what you've seen with vSAN, which is really the probably closest competitor. The fact that everything works along the same management platforms in deployment through OneView and in management through a vCenter console, etc. I think Store Once is an excellent product. And I would also say
Store Once or Store Virtual?
I'm sorry, Store Virtual. Actually, I think Store Once is a great product too. Different category,
yep.
Certainly. I think they've made drastic improvements in 3PAR as well. Toward futures, have they driven it as far as they can go? I think that the storage market is perched right now into what could very well be a brand new sort of paradigm. We're certainly going to see a lot more flash, but tools like NVMe, like 3D XPoint are going to change the storage market, I think, quite a bit, and maybe toward your end, towards a server-based storage model where either a 3D XPoint type technology would augment the storage within the server-based model or increase the I/O throughput exponentially.
So does that mean we end up with an acquisition for something at the high end? You know, they don't have anything that, I don't think, that's like a DSSD type product or mind store or anything like that. So what do they do at the high end? Is that just another evolution of 3-PAR? What do they go out and buy?
Right now it's 3-PAR. And it's interesting, you know, you talk about DSSD. They've got an interesting problem on their hands trying to figure out who to sell that to, because it has to sell at a premium price, and it is ultra-high performance.
Mm-hmm.
And to some degree, they don't need to compete with DSSD yet, because it's a fairly small market, and every install of that is a little bit of a science project. It's hard. You have to really scrape the apps to be able to get the performance out of that storage.
Okay, I got a question. Still virtual, then. Does that mean Store Virtual is a bit of a hidden gem?
Yeah, I would say so. I don't know very much about Store Virtual at all. I mean, I've looked at vSAN, I've looked at Scale.io, which mm-hmm. is a very similar product in conceptually, implemented in a very different way. So I've really discounted Store Virtual, and maybe that's bad of me. I've not really looked at it at all.
But there are lots of licenses that have been sold. I mean, I'm sure Calvin keeps telling us tens of thousands of licenses have been, well, maybe not. Maybe they're not being sold then, maybe they've just been given away as a gift, you know, registered, and you know, tens of thousands are supposed to be registered.
Yeah, the cost of Store Virtual, if you're a customer and you're buying the AC380 hyperconverged product from HPE, is the licensing itself is almost a wash.
Right.
If you're building a homegrown sort of robo type scenario using Store Virtual, well, certainly there's licensing costs there, but I think as an embedded product, I think it's every bit as viable as any other hyper-converged, and I think that's a completely different, like I say, completely different conversation. What is happening in hyper-converged, and where is it going, and what isn't it just really a storage play, even though, you know, it's got all the hypervisor and x86 type converged elements. I think it's really the differentiator between product to product is really storage.
Yeah, okay.
I was going to say, but the Store Virtual thing, maybe it's not got the visibility because HP themselves, or HPE, don't you hate that E?
Who even remembers?
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it.
Don't push it themselves, and they don't push it onto people who may have other server platforms. They'll only really talk about it when they're selling their own servers, potentially. They're not going to turn up to a Dell shop and try and push Store Virtual, whereas it would be equally valid on...
Okay, so you think it's still a hardware drag? It's a hardware drag sale to try and sell more servers,
yeah.
And they're not promoting it in the right way?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Interesting. One angle to look at it.
Well, you know, it's a product that has its roots in software, and it really always was a software product. But it was, you know, always encapsulated in hardware, so
yep.
Sort of had to be. And I think it's suffered with its identity based on that. But moreover, I just see the industry moving more towards continued development and competitive development of other server-based storage solutions, right?
Right.
You know, like VMware's not letting up on gas pedal on vSANs, and that product is going to continue to get better.
Yep.
That's going to become more competitive. It's going to continue just to improve. And I think for HPE to stay in the game, they're going to have to look at doing something that's probably different, that starts with a more modern base that includes containers and not just virtualization, to be able to stay in the game, right? And, you know, and they may be able to sell that product for another 3 or 4 years, but it might start really showing its age quickly in a segment of the industry where change is happening most rapidly.
Yeah. Okay. So there's lots of people they could acquire them. You know, there are a number of software-defined platforms out there. Like Storage OS is a new one that's come to the market, which is London-based, bearing in mind we're in London. It's mentioned them, but there's potentially Hedvig, there's Portworks, there's a whole host of things. So HP could go on the acquisition trail quite easily, pick something up. And I seem to remember something that Meg said, or somebody said, that potentially there might be money for acquisitions. Did you read any of that?
Yeah, I did. I saw that.
Yeah.
So something might happen. We might see something.
But it's pure speculation as to what direction they're going to go with it. They've certainly divested a number of particular product groups recently. I did hear, though, HPE is retaining 50%, from what I understand, of those products that have been offloaded, specifically enterprise software and services. So they still tend to soak up a good segment of the revenue.
Yeah, now I got asked to make a correction on one of those because I didn't correctly specify it as HPE were retaining 50% of the shareholding. And it was the shareholders, I believe, that were returning 50%.
Oh, is that correct?
I believe so.
I think that's right.
Yeah, so it's not quite HPE getting the benefit from that themselves, which is an interesting way of doing it.
Those products and that technology are still easily tapped by them if they want to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, those are very close partnerships now that they can leverage. You know, one of the things that's interesting about what they're doing with 3PAR, right, at the show they're announcing this whole Flash Now program. And, you know, the idea behind Flash Now is that the customer does not take possession of the technology. So it's almost like a cloud acquisition,
okay.
Right? Somehow the hardware moves in, but the customer doesn't own it. And the whole life cycle of how that product is used and how the data is transferred to another machine at the other end is going to be managed by their new technology services group that we, you know, was hearing about. Can they do that? You know, can they make that service work? Can they tie it all together with embedded data protection, you know, with store wants, with recovery manager central, these kinds of things? You know, can they make that service work to the point where it's almost as transparent as having Amazon or Microsoft do it?
Please make your way to the general session. Yes, sir. 30 minutes.
Yeah. There we are. That proves that we're recording this live, because that was a nice loud announcement over our heads. So there's a really interesting part to that, I think, and that's how will HP finance that? Because if the asset's on the floor and is owned by HP, then HP presumably have to revenue recognize that. They have to do something somehow to account for it in their books. Now, you know, does it go down as a loan, or is it purely just because they've sold it on a service base, do they not have to revenue recognize like they would do if it was a lease or something like that? I think that, you know, that we need to find that one out, because that could be really interesting to see.
Yeah, the accounting for that will be interesting.
Okay, brilliant. Anything else we think we could look at? Anything on the backup products? Do we care about any of those?
Well, I was saying, there's always been this hole in HPE's portfolio. They do not have a decent file product. It's always been their real weak point. And it's been interesting whether they could go and acquire somebody to give them a file product. And I don't know who would be there and who would even be interested in.
I don't know who is there to acquire in the file area.
Well, apart from NetApp.
Apart from NetApp, yeah.
I can't see that.
This is going to be terrible, right? Because I should know this. I can't remember the file company that they did acquire, you know, 6-7 years ago.
They bought iBrix.
iBrix, thank you.
And they bought somebody else as well. They bought another HPC. I can't remember the name of it. Begins with P. Panasus is still independent.
Okay.
They were up in Portland, Oregon.
And it's not Panzera, because they're still independent.
No, but no, it was somebody else.
Polyserve, that's it. Bingo.
Polyserve.
Polyserve,
because that was one of the weirdest acquisitions. They'd already acquired Polyserve, and then they went and bought iBrex, of which neither have survived as a product.
No.
So,
and I think iBrex had a lot of problems to begin with, didn't it? Somebody I knew was working with it, and there were lots of bugs in it, and it was a bit flaky.
It wasn't pretty. It was difficult to get. And it was an interesting one, because at one point iBrex was a very heavily partnered with EMC, and then it looked like it would have been an EMC buy, but obviously EMC must have kicked the tires enough and said, you know what?
I'm not going to disparage EMC.
Oh, go on.
No.
Hey, Brad, how are you? So this is Brad joining our podcast. Or not, as the case may be.
Or not.
So go on, disparage him, so go on. We don't mind. Nobody's listening. It's fine.
Nobody listens to me anyway. No, I don't know. I think that EMC is more than happy to acquire companies and not do anything with them. I think that when it seems as if when HPE does an acquisition, particularly in the storage space, it might take them a long time for integration or for promotion. But certainly, a product like the EVA was run well beyond end of life, as it seemed to me that the integration of 3PAR took a long time to ramp up.
Oh, no. That's just because of the size of the company. There was no technology integration. That product came in, and it was basically, this is the new product line. It didn't have to fit in.
And I'm not necessarily talking about technology integration.
Because you can compare that with NetApp's acquisition of Spinnaker, which took forever because they were trying to make it part of the filer product line.
And then we see the difference there between the typical FAS-type array and the SolidFire product line, which is currently truly separate.
Absolutely. Yeah, so when 3PAR came in, it didn't go through an integration phase. The time that it took to get going was just to train everybody. Salesforce has to learn how to sell storage based on features, not by the pound, all kinds of things like that, right? The HP Salesforce was not equipped to sell 3PAR.
Well, that's fair. And I think that the problem that I was trying to express had to do more with the business integration rather than the product stream integration. They could have resolved that simply by keeping a storage-related sales team that focused particularly on 3PAR. But it would need to have buy-in from all the different product management groups.
As you may recall, at the time that acquisition happened, the management of HP was a complete mess. It was during the times of lawsuits. Of the CEO was a guy named Leo, who was a mess, and it was just horrible. So that also was going on.
So that brings me to a thought. What do you think about the changes since Mark Hurd and since Leo under Meg?
I think Meg's done a great job.
Yeah, me too.
I think she's really got a lot of focus going on in the company right now. As I said earlier today, I'm not convinced that their marketing focus is there, but those organization focus is. These pairing offs, these spinning off sections of the company, the splitting the company in half was a very good move. That had been in the works for a long time.
It seems as if it's bucking the trends, though, for the rest of the marketplace. I mean, you could draw a direct contrast to the Dell EMC thing.
Oh, yeah, it's fascinating.
It is fascinating, yeah.
Yeah, but is that, aren't they in some respects the same, but just different? HP's decided it needs to sort itself out. Dell decided it needed to sort itself out. And EMC needed something to do.
So no, I think Dell decided they needed EMC to sort themselves out.
But they're just doing something because they know they can't continue as they were. They can't just drift along as they were. They have to do some sort of change. For some it was a split, for some it was a merger. Mm-hmm. I think that's the... So we didn't answer your file question, Martin. We didn't answer what the
We did not answer.
Yeah. We're deliberately avoiding.
Well, I was going to say, I was thinking they could go for one of the startups, like Cumulo, who have had funding issues, and so they might be something which you could pick up. That might be an interesting, give them a scale out.
Yep.
Or they're going to end up writing their own. It's not the most difficult thing in the world to write a dual-head array. Oh, they could go and buy Pure.
They could, yeah. That would be
interesting.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe they're a bit late on that, because what's the company value there? About $3 billion? Is that too much these days?
I think they're a bit rich.
That's a bit expensive, isn't it?
Pure wouldn't take that.
No, it wouldn't be. It'd be a lot more than that.
They'd want to go double-digit billion.
I think so. Yeah. So that's not good. Okay. All right, so let's wrap it up and perhaps do something else later. Mark? Where are you online, in case anybody wants to find you?
I'm Go Farley on Twitter, but I'm also at the Ridecast. I'm doing ridecasting.
I've been there.
Yeah, I know you have.
That's in a car, not on a horse.
Yeah, that's right. I drive around in cars, and some of you guys have been in. Both of you, you haven't been in, Mark. No. I need to get you on a Ridecast.
Need to get a rental.
And so that would be at http://vulcancast.com. Just right. Vulcan, like the planet Vulcan, the word cast.
VulcanCast.com. Okay.
And I'm on Twitter at @MBLEIB and blog fairly regularly at virtually tied to my desktop.com.
Excellent. Okay. Thanks, guys.